Our reading for tonight comes from Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 4. This is while Jesus is on trial. Then Pilate answered the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as I said, tonight we continue our series of defeating the gods, and tonight is the God of entertainment. And so I want you to imagine this with me. It's Sunday morning, 5 a.m. The alarm clock goes off. Dad quickly hits it and wakes up the wife. "Come on, we got to hurry up. We got to go. We got to get ready for church." She says, "Church doesn't start for 4 hours. He says, "Well, we got to get ready. We got to get there early. I want to get a front row seat. I'm sick of sitting in the back in the nosebleeds. We got to get there. Come on." And so he goes and he gets the kids up and he gets them excited. "Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's hurry." So then, as they get ready and they get dressed and they're eating, he has a show on TV. And it's a show devoted to all things church, Church Center. And all it does is show video after video of last week's performances. And they evaluate them and they look at the sermons and they judge what was good and what was not. And everything's devoted to this. And then they look at the week to come and it's anticipating the week that's to come. And they're anticipating what the outcome of the sermon's going to be. And they're looking at the sermon past. And so they load up into the car, and on the way on the radio, it's more and more commentary about church. What songs are going to be sung, playing the good ones from last week, talking about the bad ones from last week, anticipating what songs are coming this week, and they're listening to it the whole way. Then they get to the parking lot at church, and it's already filled with people sitting out in lawn chairs, grilling out eggs and bacon, and their faces painted and their crosses on, and they're ready, and they're all talking together, and they're sitting there. No matter the weather, they are there. It can be 100 degrees, or it can be 0 degrees. They're there every Sunday, and they're in that parking lot ready. The doors aren't even open, but they want to be first to get there. And so finally, the doors open, and everybody rushes in. Everybody fights to get to the front. And so then all service, everybody is up and screaming and hugging and crying and dancing and having a great time. And after a couple hours of this, people start looking at their watches and hoping all for the same thing. They really hope that the sermon goes into overtime because they just want more. Friends, am I talking about church? Or am I talking about something else? What am I talking about? Football. Isn't it sad that all of us can immediately identify it? And the thing is, it sounds crazy if I replace football with church in that whole story, doesn't it? It sounds absolutely nuts. But there's nothing nuts about it being football, is it? See, this is a story that Kyle Eidelman talked about. And the sad reality of it is that we hear that story and we know, oh, that's not church. Nobody would do that for church. Nobody would be that passionate about it. Nobody cares about it that much. And so tonight, as we talk about this and we talk about the idol of entertainment, we have to see how truly dangerous entertainment can be in our lives. How much it can truly shape everything. How much we can set our calendars to it. How much we can set our lives to it. How much our world revolves around entertainment. Because entertainment in itself, we're not going to pick apart all the things we entertain ourselves with. We have to look back at the core essence of what it is. Our deep desire to constantly amuse ourselves. Our constant need of amusement. Our constant need of distraction and entertainment. You know, it's interesting, the word amuse. It comes from the Greek. You know what amuse is? It's the female goddess that elicits you to write songs about her. And the prefix a means lacking. And so literally, we're looking at a lacking of inspiration or a lack of reflection. More smoothly translated, it means amusement is something to manipulate time of unthinking. Time to just turn it off. And what's funny is we constantly seek it. We constantly want something to distract us, to amuse us. And the sad thing is that we will never find amusement and fulfillment in what we are amused by. We constantly need more. You know, we like to turn, for some of us, to sports. And we follow sports and we follow our teams. Now, have you ever met a sports fan that has said something like this? Well, this year we won 10 games, so I'm good for life. I never need to watch again. Do you ever meet anybody that finds fulfillment like that? When their team wins the Super Bowl, do they say, we reached it. We never need to do it again. I'm never going to follow them again. Is that their attitude? What's their attitude? We better do it next year. Follow the new players. There is never fulfillment in sports. No matter how hard we devote to it, whether it's for ourselves or our kids or our amusement, it's never satisfying. For some people, maybe it's not sports. Maybe it's the movies and the TV shows and the entertainment world of Hollywood. It's estimated that the average American watches 4.5 hours of television a day. And that the average TV in America is on 8 hours a day in a house. We can spend a lot of time devoted to movies and TV shows. And we can devote a lot of our attention to these things. They say that the most common topic around the water cooler at work is usually TV shows. That's the most common topic for anybody to talk about. And what's even more interesting is the worship, the following of the celebrities of those shows. I mean, now we have shows devoted to following those people around in their everyday lives. We have shows that show them going to the grocery store. I want to see my favorite actor go and shop for groceries and argue with their spouse and sit by a pool and talk on the phone. We have TV shows that show us those things. Or we find hobbies that we can entertain ourselves with. Whether they're music or art or exploring or anything. We find entertainment, we find amusement in anything around us. Now don't get me wrong. Entertainment is a God-given blessing. There is no way that God wouldn't want us to be entertained if you look at the world around us that He created. He gave us a beautiful earth, an ocean to explore, woods to explore. He gave us cute little animals, dogs and cats to entertain us. And we can watch hours of videos online with these little guys, right? He gave us families and friends. He gave us laughter and different events. He gave us bowling and He gave us karaoke. He gave us everything. All of these things. Some of you are not entertained by bowling. Pastor Rich is not. But He gave us all these things. Everything under the sun He invented. He gives us our talents, He gives us our hobbies, He gives us our music, He gives us our art. He gives us our competitiveness, so we love sports. He even invented video games, which is sad, because I recently read about a 15-year-old boy who had a video game addiction, and they actually saw it, well, I don't know how you would chart this, but line for line, it was the exact same addiction as heroin. Just replace it. His need for it, his hiding of it, his dependence upon it was the exact same lines and study of someone that's a heroin addict. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, God, he richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Everything he's given us for entertainment is good. But as with any good gift of God, we can take it and run way too far with it. And if we don't keep it in balance, it can become an idol. And we can make an idol out of anything. And if we can't keep it in balance, it becomes a big problem. See, when we seek the gift out, rather than seeking the God who gave it, then we get into trouble. And when we focus every day on the gift that he gives, rather than the God who gave it, it creates a big problem. Have you ever wondered about this? This is interesting. Have you ever wondered why everyone is so bored? I mean, when you look at the year 2014, all of the technology that we have, all of the computer gadgets, we have channel. I have a possibility, if my wife would let me pay $500 a month for cable, to have like 800 channels. We have iPhones and movies and social network and sports and books and hobbies. We have the most entertainment possible ever in the history of the world. Yet what would you describe most kids as? Bored. Is that interesting? I think it is. It's interesting, as I was reading, over in Africa, the missionaries are reaching out to these small little tribes. They're trying to learn their languages. They're trying to reach them. And it's interesting, as they have done this, there have been tribes that don't even have a word for boredom. And we think, well, how can a third world poverty little group of people in Africa not have a word for boredom? But in America, with all of the incredible distractions that we have plenty of ways to be bored. It's interesting because when you look at the story of Solomon, King Solomon in the Bible, he wrote a book of Ecclesiastes where he talked about his pursuit of everything under the sun. He wanted to find meaning. He wanted to find purpose. He wanted to find entertainment and all the things. And so he had as many concubines. He had as many wives. He pursued many adventures. He bought many things. He tried everything. And you know what his conclusion was at the end? Does anybody know? Meaningless, meaningless. The deeper he sought, the more he tried, the more he experienced, the more he said, there's nothing to this. It's empty at the end. So we have to begin to ask the question, was that the purpose all along? Did God give us all these entertaining things to point us to the eventual realization that in the end, we cannot find meaning in them? But we have to find it in him alone. I remember in my time, I got to go down to the Dominican Republic for some mission trips. And it was interesting. You would go into the little houses that you would go into. And in the living room, all the chairs would be positioned. And they would be pointed all at the same thing. It was usually the same thing. It was a picture of Mother Mary. All the chairs pointed at that. And it's interesting. In America today, if you go into someone's living room, what are all the chairs pointed at in the living room today? And so it's very easy to see idols in other people's lives. It's very easy to see what they're focused at. And sometimes it's very hard, it's invisible to us to see what our idols are. But here's the problem. While we look at our culture and we look at our lives and we look at the hobbies and the interest and the entertainment of our lives that distracts us, we can easily see, well, yeah, I probably shouldn't allow that to be as entertaining as it is. But the problem is this lust for entertainment infiltrates the church as well. In his story, Kyle Eidelman talks about going down to Haiti to church. And Church lasted 4 or 5 hours. And he gets done, and he goes up to the pastor, and he says, how are they willing to be here? In America, this would never fly. If we go over an hour, people are just getting antsy. How does this happen? And the pastor looked at him and said, well, they have nothing else to do. And he stepped back and he thought about it. He laughed for a second, but then he thought about it. And he said, their Sunday is devoted to this. There's no computer for them to get back to, no TV show for them to get back to. Their Sunday is devoted to this. And there's nothing else distracting them from that. See, as a church, there's a couple issues with entertainment. First is this. From the parishioner perspective, sometimes we expect the church to entertain us as well. We expect everything in life to entertain us. We seek entertainment in everything we do. We want to be entertained by everything that happens. And then we come to church with the exact same expectation. And friends, that's not what this is about. We are not here to entertain. We are actually here to do the exact opposite. We are actually here to draw you out of the life of constantly seeking your own amusement and bring you to the focus of what Christ is trying to tell you your life is all about. But so often people are judging in this consumer mindset that we live in, judging churches on entertainment value. I want to go to a church that I'm entertained at. I want music that entertains me. I want a pastor that entertains me. I want people that entertain me. I want programs that entertain me. And if I don't get the entertainment I'm seeking, then I'm going elsewhere. But it's also twofold, because there are churches and there are leaders and there are pastors that struggle with trying to entice people through entertainment. Where we sit and we look at the landscape and we see a bunch of people that want to be entertained, and instead of drawing them out of that idol, we cater to that idol. And that's a problem too. See, we have this incessant need to be entertained inside all of us. And we cannot expect church to fulfill that. And we don't want to give in to the consumer mindset, because church needs to be set apart from that. And so what's interesting is in our text that I read you today from Luke 23, we get to see King Herod. And what happens is King Herod has heard about Jesus. He's heard about him doing all these miracles. He's heard about him doing all these things. And all of a sudden, he is face to face with the man himself. The Savior of the world is right in front of him. How many of you would love to have that opportunity? How many of you would love to see Jesus in the flesh right before you, and you have the opportunity to engage with him? But from the text that I read, what was Herod's main purpose in this? What did he want Jesus to do? Let me see you wow me. I want to be wowed. I want to be entertained. I want to see what you got. Show me your signs. Show me your wonders. Answer these fun questions for me. And it's sad, because he has this opportunity right here before him, the Savior of the world, and he misses that opportunity. Because he'd rather be entertained by Jesus than be found by Jesus. And so, as we look at ourselves, I got some questions I want you to contemplate. Think about this one. If you were to step back and look at your life, what are all the chairs of your life pointed at? Just step back and think. If you could take that view and say, everything I do focuses on this or these things, what would they be? What does your life orbit around? What do you set your calendar to? What are the events that you look forward to? What is it that everything is pointed at? Is it what it should be? Is it what you intend it to be? Or is something else getting in the way? Let me ask you this question about your entertainment. What are your favorite forms of entertainment? Personally for you, what are your favorite forms of entertainment? What are your favorite TV shows? What are your favorite hobbies? What are your favorite activities? Are they good for you? Would they be God-pleasing? Is this how a Christian should be devoting their time? Is it healthy for you? Let me ask you this question. To what do you express the most passion and excitement in your life? What are the things you get most passionate and excited for? I mean, the sad thing is, as I do that intro about football, I've been that guy. Or I can think of my favorite TV show, and when I know that it's the season premiere and I've been waiting all summer for the show to come back, I'm excited. It's on my calendar. Remember to tape this or watch this that night. Of course I get excited about entertainment, as do you. But if I was to look at the top five passions of my life, if you were to look at the top five things that you get passionate about, would Christ be in them? Or would it be your entertainment? So let me ask you this fun question. What entertainment would you think you're most addicted to? If you were stuck on an abandoned island and had nothing, what would it be that you missed the most? Who would you just be craving? What, when you got rescued, would be the first entertainment thing you would be doing? What is that thing? And let me ask you this fun question. Whatever it is, would you be willing to cut it out? Would you be willing to fast from it for a week? Would you be willing to take it out of your life to show yourself that that is not what comes first? That's not what's supposed to be most passionate about. Would you be willing to do that? Because see, we will only find true fulfillment in our lives by being passionate about Jesus and by being entertained by what he's doing. I can't tell you, there have been times in my life where I'm in the middle of a devotion and I read something, and it's something that I've never noticed before, or something I've never read before maybe, and I think, and I sit there and I say out loud sometimes, wow, Jesus. I mean, there's some times where Jesus is talking to people or chastising people, or he's telling a story, and I just have to step back and go, wow, that is truly amazing. When you sit and listen to these stories, you know, so often these stories that we hear, but when you step back and truly listen or comprehend what they truly look like, God is truly incredibly entertaining. And when you look at your life and you say, God, I want to be a part of the narrative that you're writing. I want to be a part of the adventure that's going on around me. I want to be a part of the story of what's happening around me. I want to serve you in this community. I want to be a part of that adventure. When you dive into that, your life will truly find the fulfillment and the entertainment that you're looking for. While you're reaching people for Christ, while you're building relationships, while you're seeing lives transformed, while you're being a part of that. Friends, there is nothing that the world can offer that can ever compare. There's nothing more entertaining, amusing, attractive than that. And if you're looking for an incredible story to truly just grab you and rivet you, there's nothing more incredible than this. That tonight we get to celebrate a God coming down to earth, taking on human flesh, subjecting himself to brutal treatment and suffering, dying upon a cross to rescue people who fall short, who aren't worthy, out of his great love. There's no greater love story than this. And tonight, this is what we get to be a part of. Friends, I don't know how much of a level of struggle this is for you, the God of entertainment. But if it is, I invite you to take to heart what we talked about tonight. to take a fast or to refocus what it is that drives you and what it is that entertains you. And this is the opportunity that we have right now, is to confess that before God, to be filled up with His Holy Spirit and to be filled with His body and blood, and to leave this place renewed and refreshed in that. May God bless you, and may you serve Him and serve Him first and foremost, and find your entertainment in Him. And all God's people said, Amen.